Hello. Thanks for being with us. Welcome back to Part 10 of Revelation's Synopsis of End Time Events. This week, I'll be focusing on the part of John's synopsis of events in Chapter 13 concerning the second beast and what he does. As I've explained in past messages, the second beast is the representation of Satan's power on earth becoming unhindered, as referred to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you would like, please feel free to request any of the messages we have given, and this current series concerning the synopsis of Revelation can be had in whole or in part just for the asking. The series or part of the series is free, and there's no charge for postage or handling or anything. It's free. Listen at the end of the broadcast, and Kim will give you the addresses. So if you want to follow along today with me, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, and I'll begin reading in verse 11, and I'll read to the end of the chapter. Starting with Revelation 13:11, it says, "And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives those who dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword, and yet lived. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell except he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and the number is 666. What I just read was a total of 8 verses. These are power-packed verses which have a great deal of information. However, because John the Revelator was only presenting a synopsis of all this, and because the information is represented with a great deal of symbolism, the understanding of it only comes when it's revealed by God's Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit which causes the scales to be removed from the eyes. It is the Holy Spirit which takes away the deception which keeps most people in the dark. There are two main areas in which the second beast of Revelation works. The first is the miraculous wonders he's able to perform. However, this power is not his own power, but through the power of the first beast. That's the line of succession. It starts with Satan, who's the dragon, and he gives the power to the first beast, and then the first beast gives power to the second beast. In verse 14, it says that the second beast deceives the people of earth by these miraculous wonders. And the first major miracle he does is to bring the fire of the heavens down onto the earth. This is the modern-day miracle of electricity, which is the power base of all science and technology in the world today. I discussed this quite extensively in message number 95. If you didn't hear that message, you can request it from us, as well as this whole series. But the second beast doesn't stop there. In verse 14 and 15, the Bible points out that this second beast encourages the people of earth to create an image to the first beast. It's this image of the beast that is so diabolical. And, once again, as I've described very extensively in other messages, this image of the beast is the graphic portrayal of the beast nature of Satan, which is both portrayed visually and audibly by the television, movie, and computer screens of this current time. If you'd like more information on this, you can request message number 96. In addition, we have other past messages on this subject, and you can request those also. And, once again, I want to stress that these are free. There is no charge, and no, we don't mind sending them out to anyone who requests them. You can request all of them if you like, and that would please us greatly. Anyway, this brings us up to a very important subject. In Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17, The final work of the second beast is explained as causing every type of person on the earth to receive a mark, number, or name of the beast in the forehead or in the right hand. And it's this mark of the beast which has caused such curiosity for Christians down through the ages. However, we're no longer in the historical period of the earth, but of course we're in our own current time, and our current day events are the end time events, and the mark of the beast is a very important concept for Christians to understand. It is this subject that I would like to concentrate on for the rest of our time today. The mark of the beast is here. However, it was here at the beginning of time on earth also. This, of course, would rule out the barcode and the computer chip, which are nothing more than mankind's attempt to understand the mark of the beast in a physical sense, rather than realizing the mark of the beast is a spiritual concept. Let me try to explain. This is important, but it certainly is not an easy thing to comprehend. The scales on the eyes of God's people have been there for a long time. Anyway, in order to understand the concept of the mark of the beast, there has to be some background given. The first thing that must be understood is the significance of the number 6. We know that the mark of the beast is described as being 666. The number 6 is of prime importance, and generally speaking, most people can easily conceive that the number 6 is quite plainly a number equated with Satan. In the same way, most people can easily conceive that the number 7 is a number equated with God and not with Satan. Therefore, the first thing we have to look at is the development of the number 6 and how it came to be significant in using it to designate the marking of Satan's people. To do this, we must go back to the beginning of the Bible account and look at the order of creation. God has created the world within a certain pattern. The days of creation describe this pattern, and if we look at the pattern, we can more easily see what the finished product should look like. And what I'd like you to zero in on is the creation of animals and man, which took place on the sixth day of all that God created. As Revelation 13:18 tells us, the number of a man is 666. The three sixes are not just three individual sixes, but a number which is moved up to the power of the tenth each time. The first number is 6, the second number is 60, and the third number is 600. Adding each set of numbers together doesn't give us 6 plus 6 plus 6, but rather the number 666. It's the addition of these numbers together which are significant. Now, just in case this explanation is confusing, as well it can be, just remember that we're looking at symbolism and that the Bible is clearly full of symbolism. Symbolism is what separates between the people who can hear and understand and the people who can't. If you're a Christian, then God has given you His Holy Spirit for the purpose of revealing Himself to you. If you're not a Christian, then you don't have the Holy Spirit, and the best you can do is look at the plain, physical, outward aspect of things. Humans are physically oriented, not spiritually oriented, and therefore, flesh and blood humans look at things in the physical sense. It takes a born-again experience to become spiritually oriented. When you're born again, you receive God's Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit begins to show you the spiritual things of God which you were not previously able to see. So, when you think about these symbolic Bible prophecies, try to comprehend the spiritual meaning instead of just thinking about it in the physical way. So, getting back to the sixth day of creation, God created animals and man. But everyone knows that after creating animals and man on the sixth day, God rested on the seventh day. Actually, this means that God ceased to create on the seventh day. He didn't rest from weariness. He ceased to work because He finished His creation. And this is important. Although mankind was created on the sixth day, the same as animals, God never intended man to remain associated with the sixth day. Animals would always be animals. but God made man to be special. God created man as a creature that could enter into God's rest, which was the seventh day. Now, before someone jumps on the bandwagon and claims that this means that we should rest on Saturday, I want you to see that the rest that God was demonstrating was the ceasing from his own works, not ceasing from labor which was tiring. God doesn't get tired. If you think God gets tired, you've really missed the boat already. He won't get tired because he is the Almighty God, and therefore there is nothing that can deter him from anything. Anyway, just as God ceased from his own works after 6 days of creation, it is the ceasing from our own works that will bring us into the rest of God. Jesus Christ is our rest. It is because Jesus died for us that we're able to enter into an eternal kingdom with God. But mankind upon earth has to make a choice. They will have to decide whether or not to accept God's rest as their method of obtaining entry into an eternal kingdom, or they will have to choose to create that kingdom themselves. And this is where mankind has to cross over. This is the point of being born again or not being born again. Man can choose to remain a creation of the sixth day if he wants to, or he can choose to enter into God's rest and let God create the kingdom for him. Make no mistake, the kingdom of heaven is the eternal kingdom. The kingdoms of earth are not eternal kingdoms, and they're not going to be. The Bible clearly tells us in Haggai 2:22 that when Jesus Christ returns to earth, he will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. Mankind has been trying to build kingdoms ever since the beginning. At the Tower of Babel, mankind was caught up in Satan's temptation to establish a kingdom on earth by their own might and power that would reach into heaven, instead of relying on God to establish them and bring them into the eternal heavenly kingdom. That's why Zechariah 4:6 tells us that the method of success is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. God's kingdom is not an earthly kingdom, and mankind can work themselves to death trying to establish their own power, but in the end, it will only be the kingdom of heaven that will stand, and the kingdoms of this world will dissolve into nothingness. So, to put it very simply, six is the symbol of the sixth day of creation. On that day, animals were created as well as man himself. But animals are not invited into God's rest. It is only mankind to which God has offered the invitation. To enter into God's rest is to cease trying to establish yourself by your own power. It is to cease your own work of lifting yourself up to the place of heaven and allow God to exalt you in his own time. The Tower of Babel was the initial overall symbol of man's attempt to establish himself in an earthly kingdom instead of relying on God completely. But Satan doesn't want us to rely on God. He wants us to trust in the works of our own hands. He knows that if we trust in our own abilities, then this means we are not trusting in God. This is Satan's purpose, for he doesn't want the kingdom of heaven to be established in us, but wants us to reject God's work of redemption and wants us to use our own might and power. But the only true way that mankind can ever exist eternally is not by the promise of immortality through cloning or biotechnology. Mankind's future can only be established by ceasing from our own works, just as God ceased from his own works when he created the world. But the throne of kingdoms is the prevailing nature on earth at this time. God calls his people to come out from among them and to be a separate people. He calls his people to cease trying to establish their own righteousness and to allow God to be the Almighty God. This principle was demonstrated through the Law of Commandments, which was handed down to the children of Israel. The commandments, which were written in stone, called for the people to cease their works on each seventh day and on other special Sabbaths which God established for them. The law of commandments was given for a time to Israel, and Israel alone, in order that the world might come to see the pattern of heavenly things. In the law of commandments, the concept of God's rest was established. The pattern of God's rest was demonstrated by Israel's keeping of the various Sabbath days. But when Jesus Christ came, he brought an end to the commandments which had been written in stone in order that the next stage of the heavenly pattern might be understood by God's people. In this stage of God's plan, it was no longer just the children of Israel who were called to be God's people, but now all nations of earth could come to God through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Up until this time, Israel had not been able to enter into God's rest. Even though they observed the physical days of Sabbath keeping, they still were unable to enter God's rest because they could not comprehend that the way to heaven was not through their own works. It was not by doing this or doing that or keeping this commandment or keeping that commandment which was going to save mankind and allow him to enter into the heavenly realm of God's kingdom. God's pattern for mankind's ultimate survival was established by the law of commandments, but his full plan was revealed through Jesus Christ. The people at the Tower of Babel had attempted to ensure their own survival and their own eventual quest for heaven by the works of their own hands. Israel, under the law of commandments, was essentially attempting to accomplish the same thing. Both examples demonstrated a people who were attempting to attain the righteousness of God within the realm of earthly strength. But God is the Almighty God, and he wants all the people of earth to know that the only way to attain the righteousness of God and to be able to come into God's heavenly realm is only by the power of God himself and by no other means. If you're a Christian, then you have come to know the difference between right and wrong. Previously, you had attempted to be righteous as God is righteous by trying to observe righteousness within the boundaries of your own ability to be good. But one day you finally realized what the Bible had been saying all along, that you were never going to be good enough to set yourself on high. You realized you were never going to attain heaven just by trying to match the righteousness of God. You, as a Christian, now know that it is only through the righteousness of Jesus Christ that you can ever make it into heaven. But you see, that is God's rest. It is when you finally cease to rely on your own works and finally begin to rely on Jesus Christ to save you that you finally find that promise of reward. To enter into God's rest is the only way that mankind can ever hope to survive. Heaven can't be reached because you build a high tower, even if that high tower ends up being the greatest technological feat of your lifetime. You will be granted access to the heavenly realm of God only when you cease your attempt of getting there by your own works. It is by allowing God to be the power for you that will finally give you entry into this kingdom. Satan does not rely on God. Satan has, from the beginning of his rebellion, determined within himself to exalt himself above the throne of God, and has also continually tempted mankind with the promise that they can do it themselves and that they do not need God. Mankind has gone after the power of self-rule ever since the beginning, and the population of earth has been bathed in a literal bloodbath on a continual basis by man's desire for a throne. As it says in Hebrews chapter 4, Israel could not enter into God's rest, even though they had physically stopped working on God's Sabbaths. This is because God's rest cannot be attained by physically resting, but only by the ceasing from our own attempt at reaching heaven by our own goodness. We can't attain heaven by trying to be good any more than the people at the Tower of Babel could attain heaven by using their own power. It is when man ceases to rely on his own power and accepts the power of God that mankind finally escapes the earthly chains and can enter heaven. To enter God's rest is to accept God as not just a help, but as the sole power. To enter God's seventh-day rest is to cease from our own labor for righteousness. However, if mankind will cease to rely on his own might and power, then he will be able to shrug off the covering of natural man and will then put on the robe of righteousness. In this sense, man moves from a flesh and blood creation of the sixth day into a spiritual creation of the seventh day. Man enters the spiritual realm of God by ceasing from his own attempts at righteousness, and therefore his number is no longer six, but seven. He is recognized as a creation of God's rest. This concept of the number six and the number seven is at the core of prophecy for the last days. It is the designation of six from which mankind needs to escape, and it is the designation of seven which brings that escape. To be born again in spirit, and therefore to depend on God's strength alone for eternal life, is the rest of God. And God's seventh day of creation, in which he ceased his work, is the key for man's eternal life. It will not be reached with the strength of earthly powers, no matter how hard man tries. To enter into God's rest is absolutely necessary. But the entering in is not just by physical ceasing from work. This is only the first step. There are two more steps to the process, and next week we'll continue the discussion. The three steps of ceasing from our own works and entering God's rest is equated with body, soul, and spirit. Certainly, 666 is the number of Satan's people, but God's people will not be marked with the mark of Satan, but with the name of God. Please join us next week for this continued discussion. Thanks.